Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I think one of two things should happen.
Yeah.
One. You should never be able to convict and jail a former president. All crimes wiped if you're the president.
Yeah.
Ex post facto.
Right.
One, either that, or we should do this more often.
Yes. Oh, after, dude, everyone.
It's
every
either,
time.
It's either one. It's either one or the other. It's either you are scot-free. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a golden pass that you get pulled over and you hand it to the cop and you go, I used to be the president. Why am I even driving? Or. Like the Olympics. Every 4 years, we get together, we put the guy on the stand, and we go, we know what you did.
What can we get him for? Yeah.
Go to jail.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast coming at you live from a jail cell.
The only convicted on all 34 counts.
34 felonies. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. The Crunch is a podcast where Ethan and I sit down and have a conversation about a topic about Catholic life. Mostly, we make jokes, but, you know, the topic is helpful. We think more people should have conversations like this one, and we're glad you're here. Ethan.
Yes.
Crazy news out of the... We probably shouldn't talk about topical things in general.
Which
happen in the next couple of days that just...
Which felony do you think that... If I committed a felony, which one do you think I would do?
Grand larceny. I think you would accidentally steal a credit card and you would go to jail for grand larceny.
I would cook some food with too much lard, call that grand larceny. That's my crime. If that's my crime, is eating too much animal fat instead of processed canola oil, lock me up.
Lock me up.
Send me away.
I've been eating some beef tallow.
Let's be real. If it's illegal to pay hush money to a porn star, I don't know if we should live in this country anymore.
Is that what this is about?
I don't know. I think so.
Did he do that? Did he pay 34 different ones or 34 to the same one?
34 counts. It was 34 counts. What felonies did Trump do? This is a good learning moment because I'm like, get him.
This might not be a bragging moment. I did not know Trump was on trial until today.
That's crazy. He's been on trial for like 3 months.
Stuff's been going on. I've been busy.
Trump speaks after verdict. 34 felonies. Against 11 invoices, 11 checks, and 12 ledger entries tied to reimbursing his former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen. He wired Cohen, often referred to as Trump's former fixer, said during trial testimony that he wired $130,000 to adult film star and director Stormy Daniels days before the 2016 election to silence her about an alleged sexual encounter with Trump. So it seems that the invoices and the checks and the ledger entries are largely because of this, these hush payments. Hush money payments.
Because
they were trying to prevent bad news from coming out right before an election, which apparently is illegal. I just know that no Democrat has ever done anything to try and prevent bad news from coming out around election season. They've never done it.
None of them, or taking retribution on someone who caused
right.
writing an entire book about how someone ruined the election for him, her.
Him, her. I think this is fine. He shouldn't have done it. I think it's good to punish things that are wrong, but I also think that this is politically motivated.
I think one of two things should happen.
Yeah.
One. You should never be able to convict and jail a former president. All crimes wiped if you're the president.
Yeah.
Ex post facto.
Right.
One, either that, or we should do this more often.
Yes. Oh, after, dude, everyone.
It's
every
either
time.
It's either one or the other. It's either you are scot-free, it's a get out of jail free card, it's a golden pass that you get pulled over and you hand it to the cop and you go, "I used to be the president. Why am I even driving?" Or every it's like the Olympics. Every 4 years we get together, we put the guy on the stand and we go, "We know what you did.
What can we get him for?" Yeah.
Go to jail. we gotta make this happen more often.
We gotta put Obama in jail.
It's also, people just have such short memories because they're like,
yeah,
Donald Trump is the first convicted felon. That doesn't mean anything. Richard Nixon did the same thing and he isn't a convicted felon for some reason. Bill Clinton did something very similar to this, not a convicted felon for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. I just don't. It's
we should convict. I'm saying we should either not convict Trump or we should convict Bill Clinton and Nixon.
Yes,
we should posthumously we should exhume them and put them on the stand. Like
Bill Clinton is not dead. I just need you to know
me.
That.
Could have fooled me. Oh yeah. Man,
he's been dead inside ever since Jeff. You know,
ever since
left
Jeff.
Us.
Yeah. Poor Jeff.
I know. It's like no more island means no more life for good old Bill. Poor guy. I do think that there needs to be, because the thing about this is they've risked it all for a short term victory, right?
Yes.
Which to me is like, I saw something online that was like, these people literally see Trump as the reincarnation of Hitler and would do anything to take him down. But in the process, they've opened themselves up to this rodeo show where, like, now if Biden loses the election or even if he wins, we're putting him on trial. There's going to be a collection of conservative lawyers and DAs and, you know, judges that are like, "Let's get Biden for the laptop and the crack. Let's do that."
Let's get him.
And they're going to be like, "This is such a gross misappropriation of justice," and it's like, you started it, man. You know, you opened it up to this. So I think it'll be interesting to see. I don't think this is gonna be a civil war, but it will be really fun to see Trump win from jail. I think that's gonna be great.
Golly, that's gonna be so funny.
Emma was asking me logistical questions. She's like, "How can he be the president from jail?" I'm like, as soon as you win, he just pardons himself and he just walks out of the cell. He just leaves. Because he can do, because once you're the president, you have presidential pardon power again, you know, and then you make it illegal. You put it in the Constitution. Donald J. Trump cannot go to jail again. .com/official.
It's again, and I repeat, it is either they get executive privilege their whole life. They can never get charged with any crimes, or we charge them with every crime.
Yeah.
And I'm actually fine with either. I am fine with either.
I am too.
I do think it would be fun. I think it would make people act a little, you know, like, do I really want to win this election? Because I would then have to call into account everything I've done since I announced my candidacy until the end. And I did some pretty crazy things, you know? So,
yeah. Do you think it would count as a corporal work of mercy to go visit Trump in the jail cell?
No, I don't think.
Why not? Why not visit the imprisoned?
There's different grades of being imprisoned, I feel.
What do you mean? Are you saying that Trump is going to have it easy? He's going to be in some kind of white collar prison with tennis courts?
Yes.
And,
yes. Of course.
No.
Of course. Yeah, of course he is. What do you think? They're going to put him in Gen Pop?
Yes. He would have those guys eaten out of the palm of his
hand.
Dude, he
would be.
Oh, they would love him.
And I must say, this is the best food. Can we just get a round of applause for the cafeteria? The best food that we've ever seen. Here in cell block A, we've got the best prisoners. No one's got prisoners like us. The corrections officers, they'd like to see better prisoners, but it's just us. We're the only ones. I've got a good friend over in cell block C. Very good friend, Michael Cohen. he would just own the place. He would just walking around, shaking people's hands. God. Every come to him with like problems, he's like, Don, I need help. I can help you. Bring me a pack of cigarettes.
He would unite all of the gangs.
He would. There's a lot of good people on both sides.
Not a good
the Nazis, the blacks, the Latino. You know I love the Latinos.
He's got a Taco Bowl.
Taco Bowl. Let him have Twitter in jail. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
This is a fair trade. If you told me that Trump would have to be in jail for the rest of the campaign, but he had Twitter for the whole time, I'd take that trade.
Absolutely.
You know, give him a phone. Let him tweet. Let him post pictures. You know, out in the yard, he's lifting weights. So... He gets strong like Uncle Iroh.
Is Don Jr. Zuko in this analogy?
Probably. You know, he can never live up to his father's shadow. That wouldn't be Donald Jr. Who's the other guy?
Jared.
Jared. Jared.
Jared. It's like a super.
Jared Trump. Kushner. Jared Kushner.
Kushner.
Jared Kushner is Zuko. Baron Trump. Avatar Aang. He's gonna come save us all. He's gonna come save us all. Baron Trump is Paul Atreides. He's the Lisan al Gaib. He's gonna be like, this is what they did to my father. There's gonna be altars with my father's skull, and they're gonna be chanting my father's name, and I'm gonna lead the nations on a global jihad. He'll ride the worm. Don't laugh because his father paid hush money to a porn star when I say he'll ride the worm. Don't laugh. That's not funny. This is a Catholic podcast. We're here to make...
I wasn't laughing at that, you goob.
You were laughing. John Paul II is very disappointed in you. He wrote Theology of the Body, and you're laughing. I think Barron's going to come back. I would be shocked if Baron Trump was not a fixture in American politics in 20 years.
I hope so.
Because that would be...
I haven't heard the kids speak.
There's precedent. You got HW and W. You've got...
To be fair, W and HW were closer in age than Donald Trump and Baron Trump. Baron Trump is young enough to be Donald Trump's grandson.
How old is Baron? Do we know?
Baron's like in his late teens.
Baron Trump age... He's 18. He was born in 2006.
Donald Trump is old enough to be my grandpa.
Can you imagine being 18 and your dad is 77 and also in jail and married to a woman
also
from
the
Eastern
president.
Europe? That's a lot of people. And your older sister is 42.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think Baron, he'll come around.
Well, Melania is not young. She's not like.
No, she's not.
Like,
there was
good
a
for her, you know?
There was a report that came out, or some leak somewhere that indicated that Baron was involved in anonymous right wing Twitter, and so for a while everyone was getting all excited to be like, "Which one of you is Baron? Wait, I know you're here," and I'm sure he saw it. Can you imagine just being the son of the president and also being a poster, like a frog poster?
I doubt a Groiper, you mean?
A Groiper.
Yes.
The Groipers.
Oh, this is good.
I'm excited
for this.
It's all
a circus.
It is a circus. It is a circus, but it's keeping me distracted from the economy.
Yeah.
You know?
Something's got to change, man.
Bread and circus.
8%? Crazy.
All we need to make this the best summer, we need Trump in jail, and we need Strange Beer Thing.
and then everything will be okay.
This thing's pretty strange.
Yeah.
That thing's stranger.
Isn't it crazy that Stranger Things, like, the last season came out 5 years ago, and now the kids are all, like, No, it's just, I don't know how long ago it was, but I feel like Stranger Things season 4 came out in 2006 when Barron Trump was born, and Stranger Things season 5 is just, like, nowhere to be found.
Rick and Morty levels of gaps in between seasons.
Which doesn't work because Finn Wolfhard now looks like a guy that you'd find in the back alley of a restaurant, you know, smoking a cigarette and trying to hook up with the new 16-year-old waitress.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't like
that. Don't work in food service.
Well, whatever, just don't be Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that. I've never seen Stranger Things. I've never seen a single
episode. You've never seen a single episode?
No, never seen a single episode. I am happy for that and Game of Thrones to be like the things that I have never seen.
This is probably good because I think if you watch Stranger Things, you would become insufferable.
Did you just get the text?
No.
I just got a text that what says, from Trump, all hell broke loose. I was convicted in a rigged trial. I need you to read this now.
Yes, read it now. He needs us to read it, Patrick.
Ethan, it's a phishing link. I'm not clicking this link.
Open the message. Read what he wrote.
I'm not going to
tell us what Trump said. Give us the vote. He will be in the jail cell and we'll be out here. We will elect him to president this year.
Nice.
Thanks. Read it.
I'm not clicking the link, Ethan. It's going to steal my identity.
No. I didn't get a link. This actually proves that you're on more right-wing cell phone lists than I am.
I guess.
Because I didn't get it. They don't know, so they don't text me. I keep my stuff clean. I've got a TikTok phone, and I've got a normal phone.
Really?
I have two phones, one with all the Chinese spyware on it and one with my like personal data.
Sure. I hear you. It's good.
I'm not.
Yes, I am. I'm excited for the 2024 presidential election. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be fun.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a bloodbath of just obnoxiousness. And I'm excited for... the world is not going to end. There's not going to be a civil war. Nothing is that insane.
Nothing ever happens. Yeah.
There's nothing that's so... Like, just think about the stakes. Mm-hmm. Think about the stakes of the... Of the last civil war, it was a human rights atrocity that was necessary for the economy to continue in the way it was, and nobody's fighting about abortion right now, so there's not going to be a civil war. The only thing that could start a civil war is abortion because it's a moral atrocity and the economy can't run without it.
It could.
Not the way it is now. I am completely convinced that the only reason why the economy is running the way it is because of abortion.
Why?
Well, I mean, obviously companies are willing to, it's just indicated by the fact that companies are willing to pay for women to fly to other places to get abortions. You know, it's like very clearly a lack of children helps.
But what percentage of abortions are that situation? It's not very high.
I don't know. Who knows?
I know.
It's also possible. Yes, it is your job. But it's also possible that it's a population culling thing because we have too much welfare. I don't know. They're trying to kill people for a reason. They wouldn't do it if it didn't make financial sense.
No.
Who benefits?
I think it's even more base than that. Who benefits?
Oh, yeah.
The woman. The woman is getting an abortion because she has been sold a story about her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think it's like corporations or companies that are like, we won't make more money unless women have abortions. Women are saying, I won't be able to be the person that I want to be unless I have this abortion. So I'm going to buy this pill or I'm going to get this procedure. So
why are the companies so willing to donate millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood?
Because they're woke.
I don't know. I don't believe that people are principled. I believe they're self-motivated.
I think people are way more likely to donate to an abortion facility if they themselves have had an abortion or they know someone who's had an abortion. So I think these companies give money to Planned Parenthood because they would have an abortion, they've had an abortion, or they know someone who's had an abortion, and they think it's fine, you know? I don't think it's like propping up the economy. Like, I think if abortion stopped completely, I really don't think that much would change.
You don't think you don't think that much would change if an extra 3,000 people were born? What is it every year? Is that 3,000 thing of babies are born in a year?
Oh, is it 3,000? 3,000 babies born in a year.
No, 3,000 babies aborted.
Of 300
aborted.
Million
people. Aborted.
No, what's there's the 3,000 babies? There's a million abortions a year, approximately.
Okay, you don't think a million new people would change the economy every year?
Well, has it changed? We had 3 million new people come across the border last year.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you don't think that changed the economy on top of all the new people that are already coming. You don't think an extra million people is going to move the needle a little bit?
Yeah, but I think it would be better. I think it's better for the economy to have kids than to have.
I agree. But it's like
grown adults who need like health care and hotel stays and like all these other things that they're paying for. Like, I think the cost on the government is way less to have a million more kids than a million more adult immigrants, you know?
I know what you're saying, but it's like those things are already happening, whatever. You know, sure. Like that's already happening. So what I'm saying is like a million new kids.
Yes.
They're only receiving, they can't do anything yet for at
yes.
least 18 years.
Good.
And so it's like 18 million people mm-hmm. over the next decade and a half that mm-hmm. need a bunch of resources, mm-hmm. public schooling, healthcare, subsidized this, that, and the other thing. That's going to drain the economy. This is my opinion.
I don't think the economy is not a big bucket that people come up mm-hmm. to suck. It's like if there's more kids, then that means there's going to be more of a demand for these things.
Yes.
And if there's more of a demand, then more people will fill the roles because the supply will be low, and so you have to pay more people. Like that, more jobs get created because there's more things to be done. Right?
I don't know. I think abortion's all a big racket. I think they started so that people can make money. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
I just don't think you haven't shown your work sufficiently. You've just kind of alleged.
It's just a theory. It's a theory that I have. Not that nothing ever happens. It's that everything happens over and over and over again. And the last time that something comparable to slavery happened. Like this is the most recent thing that's comparable to slavery, a widely accepted human atrocity. You know what I mean? Eugenics, similarly, right? Like a widely accepted affront to human dignity. What are you looking up?
Okay, there were 4 million enslaved African Americans in the United States, according to the 1860 census.
So it's even worse.
What does that mean? What do you mean, so it's even worse?
Because there's more than 4 million abortions.
Over a 5-year span.
Yes. Yeah, and abortion's been around for a while. Is that statistic still hold up? Like, have abortion rates gone down?
Oh, no, they've gone up.
Ah.
Yep.
That doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you're the FDA and you deregulate the abortion pill and make it so that you no longer have to take it inside of a clinic, a hospital, or a medical practitioner's office.
Did we talk about this on the bonus
podcast? Mailed to your home, and you can take the abortion pill right in your house. So
did we talk about the 25% statistic on the podcast?
It's not 25%. It's 1 in 25. 1 in 25 women that take mifepristone end up in the hospital. Yeah. So. It's nuts. Anyway, I don't understand your argument. I think that's fine. I think it's a little bit silly, but I'm glad that you believe it.
Thank you. It's very important to me.
It is?
It's a working theory. It's a hunch. I'm working on it. I'm going to bake this theory. I'm going to bake the breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come out with a cake.
Civil War can't really happen in the same way as it did in the 1860s. We don't live in a regionally segregated economic zones in the same way that we once did. There's not like the South, which is where agriculture happens, and the North, which is where like manufacturing and commerce happens, you know, like,
and Old Bay seasoning happens.
Yes.
Maryland.
It's, farming happens inches away from the suburbs, and the suburbs have people who do all different. It's just totally different the way that society is. Yeah. So if there was a civil war, I don't know. It'd be Republicans versus Democrats, I guess. But like,
but we all live in the same place. Like, yeah, we all live in the same places.
Right. There, so like, might, I'm not, be like, go to war with my neighbor. That doesn't make any sense. No. You know, it's easy to go to war with people that live down there. Like, oh, they live south of the Mason-Dixon line. You know, I'm going to go cross that line. I'm going to shoot every guy that I see wearing a gray uniform. doesn't work anymore.
No. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. Now, there might be armed conflicts.
Sure.
Paramilitary groups.
Oh.
Create strongholds. And the government has to move the National Guard, not the military, wink, wink, on these paramilitary. That might happen, but that happens all the time.
Does it?
I think so.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You've been asserting a lot lately.
It's important. It's important to assert. I don't know. It happened. Well, I mean, okay. It happened in Ruby Ridge and Waco and then kind of dropped off after that.
Yeah, people in the, what, 1973 or whenever that was. I don't know what. Ruby Ridge is a Pokemon.
I can't believe the first black girl to go to an integrated school in Little Rock, Arkansas, attacked the ATF. That's Ruby Bridges.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was her and Medea.
We were talking about Medea before the podcast.
We were talking about a big game about to meet, because there's that movie Medea Goes to Prison. I think it's just funny to do like if they did Medea Goes to Prison, but it was Trump, but it was like the same like black
same
style
kind of
comedy. Oh, it'd be funny.
I do love a good Tyler Perry movie. I watched a lot of Tyler Perry movies as a kid because my friend's family was like really into them, and so I would watch them.
Yeah.
And they were all Tyler Perry movies have a kind of an interesting flair. They're like comedies, but then all of them have this element where they take an insanely dark turn halfway through the movie.
Like
have you seen a Madea movie before?
No.
So it's like a goofy blockbuster comedy, like you would expect.
Sure.
It's slapstick. She's saying crazy things with, you know, racial undertones. And then all of a sudden, like, the one girl who's a prostitute is like pregnant, and it's like Medea has to sit down and like teach this girl lessons about self-respect. You know, it all of a sudden gets like really serious. And then it goes back to like, we're at the cookout and Medea's running through the house and her hair's on fire. You know, it's something crazy like that.
The Medea movies in order are: 1, Diary of a Mad Black Woman; 2, Medea's Family Reunion; 3, Meet the Browns; 4, Medea Goes to Jail; 5, I Can Do Bad All by Myself; 6,
that's one that I saw.
Medea's Big Happy Family; 7, Medea's Witness Protection; 8, A Medea Christmas; 9, Tyler Perry's Madea's Tough Love, which is animated. 10, Boo, A Madea Halloween. 11, Boo 2, A Madea Halloween. 12, A Madea Family Funeral. 13, A Madea Homecoming.
Once you do a Christmas one, it starts falling off.
Like they did two back to back. No, they do Halloween two ones. Halloween back to back. Yeah. So we'll see what happens next. But she's been through a lot. I mean, she went into witness protection. She celebrated Christmas. I mean, she's been at the full American experience.
I Can Do Bad All By Myself is the one that I watched. I remember that title because I had to parse it. I didn't quite understand what was being said, but I figured it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's all I have to say about Madea, because I really can't speak too much to that. We were talking about the Madea movies because I've been getting a lot of targeted ads that seem to be targeted towards Black people.
Yeah. You want to talk about that?
I think NBC might think I am a Black person. I don't know why, but I'm receiving a lot of advertising that have references that I'm not privy to. You know, like I don't understand. I'm not gonna imitate it. But it was like, I know you keep hot sauce in your bag, and I was like, I don't do
do
that.
Do the imitation of the ad.
I'm not gonna do the imitation.
Come on, nobody clip it and share it online. Nobody will do that. Do an imitation of the ad.
No, thank you. But it was but no, because I know it was specifically targeted. I know it's a, I know it's a targeted ad because I saw the ad again on YouTube, and it was like the same shots, and it was a white guy talking, and it was like, we have enough hot sauce on both of our buns. And I was like, no, the white guy was, don't worry, we took off all the hot sauce, there's nothing on it, don't worry, it's fine.
Did he really say that in the ad?
No, it was like, we got hot sauce on our buns, like we got so the spicy funny chicken you need.
It's so funny to have a Black version of the ad that's like, I know you keep hot sauce in your bag, and the white version of it being like, we have plenty of hot sauce to go around.
Yeah, I was like, hey, this is the same ad for two different demographics. It's kind of weird you guys did that.
I think it's good to advertise.
It's obviously fine, but it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny because you're just like,
what would we do if we were advertising our podcast to the Black community and also the white community? What would be the two versions of the ads that we would do? Yeah, like same ad, two different split tests.
I think one would be the clip of us talking about Madea. And then the white person clip would be us saying positive things about Donald Trump.
Nice. That's pretty good.
This episode of the Crunch Catholic Podcast is multicultural.
Well, it's true. I think we do something that no one else does. Can I just say that for a second?
Yes.
On no other Catholic podcast are you going to get fierce, unwavering loyalty to the Pope, positive comments about Donald Trump, and deep dives on the Madea franchise. No one else can do it but us.
Here's the thing that I've learned. People in general, every person loves it when deeply wants to be known. All right? Everyone wants to be known. And
you're telling
and
me.
Every person who's normal and not on the internet likes when other people understand things that they find to be cultural staples.
Yes.
Right? So like when you speak Spanish poorly to a Spanish speaking person, they appreciate it. They like that you made the effort. And they just like that you know things.
I'm still scared. Culture. I'm still scared to say burrito instead of burrito at the restaurant. Burrito.
Necesito un burrito.
It's very hard for me.
I did speak a Spanish sentence to my friend Javi after mass one day because Leo's friend Gabriel was pointing at Leo and saying I Leo, which is H-A-Y-I, it's Leo. Gabo only speaks Spanish. His older brother speaks Spanish and English, but they only speak Spanish at home. And in Spanish I said, why is it always it's Leo and never it's Mr. Patrick to Gabo? And he like thought that was funny. And I asked Javi if I got it right, and I did.
You did?
I did.
Man.
Yeah.
I saw something that said that the Duolingo owl and the Hooters owl are brothers. And one just took a dark hedonistic path, and yes, the other one pursued, yeah, knowledge. It's kind of like you and me. Like, you're the academic and I'm sort of the degenerate, you know?
Oh my gosh. Do you remember when we went to the SEAT conference and every restaurant was packed except Hooters?
Except for Hooters? Did we go?
That was amazing. No, we didn't go to Hooters, but Luke said, yeah, we should have.
We should have. Honestly,
Luke was like, we're going to Hooters.
At this point in my life, if it meant like a short wait for food, I'm going to Hooters, you know?
I think
and I'm ordering like this, right? Like I'm like, ladies, I would like the burger, please. And I would also like a table that is not at chest height, if that's, yes, okay with you.
I would like a table where the angle is where there's coverage, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in Florida going to the beach. And so like,
we know
it's, you have to learn from an early age how to just not look at boobs. It's pretty, yeah, easy. If you get the
hand. It is easy because you always know where they're going to be.
They're never, it's never on the woman.
They're never in a different spot. You know?
they're extremely predictable is the thing yeah, about human body shapes. And so, yeah, if you just don't look at, right, where they are, you don't, yeah, have to see them.
This is kind of like the Tyler, the Creator tweet about cyberbullying. Where it's like, how is cyberbullying real? Just close your eyes, you know? Like,
how is a porn addiction real? Just turn off your computer.
Obviously, I know it's not that hard, but when you're out in public, I stay locked at a 30 degree angle down, you know?
Oh, it's just pretend, or like when you're at the,
even
when you're
easier,
at the, you're in the,
when you have a kid, when you have a kid, you're playing with your kid. You're locked in with, mm-hmm, your child. You're talking to your wife. You got a family, you know, but if you're a single guy, just cobblestones. That's your life now, is cobblestones. Mm-hmm. You don't need, yeah, and I don't know, I don't care if you don't live in the Northeast and there's no cobblestone roads, but you get what I'm saying.
Most, you know, of our roads is sandstone.
Sandstone?
No, actually a lot of our roads, this is true.
Whose
a
roads?
A lot of Florida's roads.
Okay.
Or at least a big portion of US 1 in Brevard County is made up, mm-hmm, of crushed oyster shells.
That's disgusting, that is.
So when the road was first being built,
mm-hmm,
there were all of these oyster shell deposits on the coastline, and so we mined those and we crushed, mm-hmm, them and made them into cement, and we made our roads. An environmentalist person I met was complaining about this. Mm-hmm. He said the oyster shell mounds were destroyed to build US 1, and I said, oh my gosh, like did that affect the river at all? And he said, well, no, not really. It's just these were like Native American oyster mounds that we destroyed. I was like, oh, like were they important? He's like, no, this is like where they would put the oyster shells when they were eating oysters. I was like, oh, it was a landfill?
It was a trash dump.
So we destroyed a landfill to make something useful.
We racistly got rid of a trash pile.
I was upset about this. I was, yeah, like, I think you're okay with that landfill because it's a Native American landfill. I don't think, yeah, that's ideologically consistent.
Yes. That's really funny.
It was really funny.
Dang. Have you seen the Top Chef episode where the ingredient is oysters?
No.
And the guy goes, oysters? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever seen that program?
No, man.
There's like There's a crazy guy. Yeah, Ryan, put the clip in. There's a crazy guy who stands up on top of the ingredient, and he kind of yells it and like looks around like this, like kind of in a weird, mm-hmm, you know, you have to figure out how to cook with zucchini. Ooh, you know, and that's like the ingredient. And then Bobby Flay has to make a delicious meal, you know.
Mm.
Maybe it's Iron Chef, not Top Chef. I think I'm thinking about Iron Chef, actually. I'm pretty sure it's Iron Chef. That's such a cool name for a show, by the way.
Iron Chef.
Yeah, the other shows, it's like Hell's Kitchen. Okay, I get it. Top Chef, whatever. Kitchen Nightmares. Iron Chef. That's cool, man.
So good.
That's cool. That's the Food Network cinematic universe.
Captain Chef.
Captain Chef. Iron Chef. Tony. Yep. Tony Spork.
Pepperoni Spork. Rigatoni Stark. There we go.
Tony Spork.
Dude, you like that.
Scarlet Whisk. Mm-hmm. Anyway. I'm fine. Continue on the show. I'm going to be over here.
Scarlet Whisk. You got one more. I know you do.
I know. I'm thinking. I'm struggling.
Because
I can't remember the rest of the Avengers. I only know
there's
those
a whole two. Cinematic universe.
Captain America, I know. Freaking Hawkeye, I know. Who else? Black Widow. No. Who else? Who else is in it? Who else is the Avengers?
There's Black Panther, Incredible Hulk, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
There's the Star-Lord. Mm-hmm. Star-Lord? No.
Star-Lord's not bad.
Star-Lord's not bad. Where's no, it's got to be a more classic guy than that.
Yeah.
Wolverine. Cyclops. Dr. Xavier. I'm in the X-Men now. I don't think we got one.
I'm like Doctor Strange right now. I'm looking through all the timelines to try and figure out who's made a kitchen utensils.
Scarlet Whisk was kind of a miss. I think Tony Spork was just funny.
Scarlet Whisk instead of Scarlet Witch? That's pretty close.
It's close, but I think Tony Spork was funnier just simply because it's very off. It's not like it's
not off. His name's Tony Stark. Tony Spork.
Yeah, but like Spork, that's the
that's you're three out of the five letters that you yeah, that's that not you
enough.
Have.
That's not enough. You need
what's the name of the guy who's got the stone in his freaking dome and he's made out Vision? Of computers? Vision?
Yeah.
All right, that's never mind. There's nothing to do with that.
You can't do that. Yeah. You could just, instead of Thor, if you want to be on, you could just do Spoon. Like his name is Spoon. Uh-huh. One name superhero. Yeah. Spoon.
Spoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I could be here for a long time.
You don't got it.
I don't got another one.
It's okay. This is good.
I like Scarlet Whisk. Dude, comment below if you think Scarlet Whisk was more of a hit than a miss. Tell us in the Discord, because I believe in that one.
All right.
What else you got going on? You want to talk about priests? We got 5 minutes left in the episode. You want to talk about priests?
I don't want to talk about priests, no.
That's good.
There's stuff going on about priests. They were talking about married priests. They're talking about gay priests. I don't want to talk about either of them. I think priests should be not sexually active. That's my opinion. And I think that's the easiest of the three. I was talking to someone on Twitter, and they were like, celibacy is very challenging for priests. We should allow priests to get married. Actually, if you'll pardon my overstepping here, I think celibacy is the easiest of the three. Mm-hmm. Celibacy, poverty, and obedience. Obedience, super difficult. Poverty, hard to do in America. Hard to trust in God's providence. Celibacy, easy. Don't do it.
Just don't do it.
It's 100% easier to not do something than it is to do something.
Did you see the tweet from Father Kevin, patron of the podcast at patreon.com/thecountry? Father Kevin Gregus.
Shout out Father Kevin.
Father Kevin. He tweeted something. He said, is there anyone that Bishop Barron could have a conversation with that Catholic Twitter wouldn't get super mad about?
I did see this, yeah.
And then my response to him was, Bishop Barron and Father Mike Schmitz could team up and have the most bland corporate conversation of all time.
They are Captain America and Iron Man.
A lot of people liked that tweet. I didn't realize it was such a popular opinion.
Did you know that Bishop Barron and Father Mike both they disagree with each other on the Dare We Hope All Men Are Saved thing?
I don't care.
You know that?
I didn't know that. But
it was pretty interesting. Father Mike was on Pints with Aquinas and Matt Frad was like, "Yeah, it's stupid." And Father Mike was like, yeah, like, I think we can really respect someone and disagree with them at the same time. And I'm like, that's such a corporate way of saying it. But I want you to tear them apart. I want the two strongest prelates to go at it.
It's just so – the problem with Bobby B and Father Mike is that there's so many people that have jobs because of what they say. And so they are beholden to saying the thing that is least likely to get people to lose their job.
Yes.
Because if
this is the thing,
Word on Fire is a nonprofit. So if they lose their donors because of something Bishop Barron says, then all those people lose their jobs. Ascension is not a nonprofit. They're a for-profit entity. But if people stop liking, if he loses his good boy energy and people stop liking him because of some type of scandal, or he does like a Harrison Butker thing where he says something right, but everyone takes it the wrong way and it gets spun up into the national media, people could lose their jobs. And so they both just say the most boring things possible, which is fine. I get it.
Successful.
What? No.
This is why we'll never be successful.
This is why we'll never be priests, bro.
Good point. Dude, I'm so happy I'm not a priest because it was what God intended.
I love not being celibate. It's great.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Play that part for Phoebe.
Play that track. I don't think about that. You know, I don't be like, oh wow, I can't. I'm super glad I'm not celibate.
I'm not celibate.
Like,
yeah.
This is what people said when I was discerning, and I just took them at face value and was like, yeah, okay. They're like, yeah, once you're either married or you're a priest, you just don't really think about that part of your life. It's not that much of a decision. It's such a big decision when you're a kid and you're young and you're like, but I really want a family. And it's like, you want it in the abstract. It doesn't exist yet. So you can't really like desire it. And then like, oh, but like, what if I don't like having a family? It's like, you are going to love your son and daughter because they're yours. And you're going to love your wife because she's yours. Unless you lack Christian charity, in which case you're going to hate your life either way. So you might as well pick the one that you like more.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, I think that's it for us today.
You think so? I think we had a good episode today where we talked about some controversial topics. I can't believe that we talked about Madea on the podcast. I hope that we don't get in trouble for that.
That's okay. I don't think we have any black listeners, so I don't think it's going to get back to them.
Bummer.
Which is not by design. I would love to have
a
black listenership, but I think just from... Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. It's just funny.
I just think that because of the audience that we attract, it's just not very diverse, which a lot of people would knock us for, unfortunately.
But what can we do? We are a personality driven show, and so whoever is attracted to us,
I will say there's not a lot that we provide.
we're not exactly doing much for many communities, let's put it that
way.
No BIPOCs are listening to this show going, wow, I feel very heard.
Yeah,
perhaps that's not correct. If you are a person, I'm not kidding, I'm just kidding.
Say if you are
a person of color, join bit.ly/crunch Discord and tell us
why on earth
listen
to us,
to this Wonder Bread.
Yeah,
we're just so
you could play this whole podcast back and be like, this is the tape that they roll in court when we get tried for our whiteness. They're like, Your Honor, twenty minutes on Trump, 10 minutes on Madea.
Our podcast we are the podcast equivalent of a fluffer nutter sandwich.
Yeah, all right?
That is who we are.
This guy talking about Bobby Flay on Iron Chef.
Your Honor, this guy said Scarlet Whisk. I rest my case.
Okay, all right, let's see. A little too far. It's a little too far. Sometimes things can be good, right?
Oh, man.
Okay, well, we've got a Patreon. If you like this podcast and you want to support us, we're on the road to 200 patrons. Last week, my challenge to you was to get us to 120. We are at 121 patrons, which is awesome. A very huge, huge thank you to everyone who joined to get us from, I think we were at like 116 to 121. Next goal, we'd like to get to 130. So that's 9 more patrons. If you subscribe at $10 a month, you get a bonus podcast. We've got 76 of them now. 76 bonus, but that's 76 hours of extra content. If you like what we talk about here, we get into it even more in the bonus shows. And there's some other things that we do on occasion over on the Patreon. You also get access to the Patreon Discord server, which is a much more lively and intimate community than the rabble out there in the wild, wild west of the non-patron channels. So patreon.com/thecrunch. Help us on the road to 200 patrons, our next milestone. Baby. If we get to 130 patrons by next week, I will eat raw meat live on the podcast.
Like steak tartare or raw chicken?
I'm thinking just pork. Just a little... It's some raw pork. And I'll do that for you. The people.
Oh my gosh. I was making something. What was I cooking the other day? I was cooking something that and I was
tweets.
Like I asked it was something along those lines. I asked my wife if she liked her can't remember what it was. It was like, do you like it medium or rare? And it was like something ridiculous that you wouldn't undercook. I don't know what it was.
Fish.
Really funny joke that I made there.
Fish, lamb, chicken, pork, turkey.
It wasn't a meat.
Oh.
I know.
Vegetable, fruit, bread.
It was a pancake.
Pancake. There you go.
I was making a pancake and I asked her if she liked it medium well or rare.
Yeah.
And she was like, please, I don't want batter in my pancakes.
Yeah. Sometimes that does happen. When you make a lot of pancakes, just one after the other, sometimes you get a little... Sometimes the baking powder clumps up. And you get like a bite and it's like this really disgusting bite of pancake. Happens
the easy,
to me sometimes.
You get rid of that. You get a sifter and you put all your dry ingredients through a sifter. Mixes a lot easier that way.
My wife does that and I would never correct her. So,
okay. Whatever you say.
What she's doing. We're going to do the Dating Corner podcast. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
For your consideration, Sink Fury.
Sink Fury.
Like a kitchen sink. Knife Fury? No, it sounds like Night Fury. Listen, if Scarlet Whisk makes the cut, if Scarlet Whisk makes the cut, I get Sink Fury. Screw you. We're going into the next podcast. I'll see you guys next week.
I'll see you in jail.
I'm guilty on all 34 counts of being hilarious.
Bailiff, take him away.